If you can imagine, an 8-year-old boy sneaking stealthily, ever so quietly, down the hall of his parents' house. Not a large house, a house in suburbia someplace, where there is a wooden floor and walls with pictures, a kitchen and a dining room, and then in this hall, to the left, a bathroom, to the right, the door to the basement, a closet, and then a room. At the end of the hall, the room is the boy's parents' bedroom. He is sneaking down the hallway because it is 2 weeks before Christmas. And hidden inside a closet in his parents' bedroom, on a top shelf, are presents. He is looking for a specific present. And as he sneaks into his parents' bedroom, he keeps one ear out because his parents are outside shoveling, and he can keep an eye on them by listening to the sound of their shovels scraping on the sidewalk and the driveway. And so he listens as he looks for a way to get higher so that he can get to that top shelf. And he finds a chair at his father's desk in his parents' bedroom. And he is told repeatedly, "Don't use a chair. Use a ladder if you need to climb on something." But the ladder is in the kitchen, and the chair is here. So the boy breaks one more rule of many rules he will break in his lifetime. And he puts the chair in front of the closet and climbs up and is looking through the packages and bringing some of them down and peeking through. And because his mother is a wise woman, because his mother knows children, all of the packages have been wrapped already. In fact, they're usually wrapped at the store because she knows about children, for she teaches second graders every day. But this boy is looking for a specific thing. He's looking for something round. But all the packages are square. And so, although he has not given up hope, he's pretty sure what he is looking for is not, at least in this hiding place. He's sure that there are other hiding places. But he manages to put everything away and put the chair back at the desk and close the closet door and get back down the hallway and up to his room upstairs or some other place in the house by the time his parents come in. And they don't ever know, he thinks. And later that night, I am lying in bed, for that is me. I'm lying in bed thinking about drums, for drums are circles, they are not squares, in my experience. And as I am lying in bed with the warm covers pulled up to my chin in my racing car pajamas, the lights from the passing cars out on the street kind of work their way up the ceiling from the window and then down the far wall. And one after another, cars go by, and usually I count them. One. And the cars make a nice swishing sound out on the street, unless, of course, it's snowing. And sometimes when it's snowing, every once in a while, a car will go by with chains on the tires going ching, 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 ching. And I'm listening to the sounds. And sometimes the lights come from the other direction. And maybe I'm up to 3 or 4. I rarely get past 5 before I am deeply, deeply asleep in my warm blankets. But tonight, I'm up to 3 or 4 when my mother puts the phonograph needle down on a scratchy old LP record. And it is the Robert Shaw Chorale singing Christmas songs. And they're singing that Greensleeves piece, What Child Is This? Someone took the tune of Greensleeves and put Christmas words to it. And I'm lying there and I'm getting sleepier. Sleepier, and the music is drifting up the stairs and the cars are going by. And the lights are kind of going across the ceiling and my eyes are getting heavier and closing, and the Greensleeve song is over, and I'm just about asleep when the next song comes on. Me and my drum. It's the little drummer boy. And all of a sudden, I am no longer asleep. I am no longer lying in my bed. I am standing up on my bed with my arms out like this. And I'm feeling the music coming up my feet and in my hands. And it's running all around my body. And it's going up and down. And I am having a full-blown 8-year-old spiritual experience. And I knew I had to have a drum. I knew that my life was laid out in front of me, and drums were a big part of it. And music was there. And stories about people playing the drums was there. And stuff like that. And finally, eventually, I guess I fell asleep. But that's all I remember of that night. And that Christmas came and went, and no drum appeared under the tree. For my mother, as I mentioned, was a second grade teacher, and there was no way in hell a drum was coming into her house. After working with second graders all day, all one craves, or so I am told, is quiet. And so when I wanted to play the drum in the school band, she said, Mark, play the flute. Because they have the flute in the fife and drum bands, too. They need the fife players. Learn to play the flute. And so I was the only boy in fourth grade to play the flute. And I didn't play it very well. Because my heart was really where the drum section was. Well, another year passed. And again, I asked for a drum. And this time my mom said, how about the piano? It's a percussion instrument, and we have one, and you could play it, and I'll even pay for piano lessons. And so I dutifully went and learned piano lessons, and I wasn't very good at it, but I learned a lot. And then later on, in middle school, I wanted to play the drum again, but they didn't need any drummers in the band. They had plenty of drummers. In fact, they had too many drummers, and they had too many trumpet players, and they had too many clarinet players, and they had too many trombonists, but they needed a French horn player. So I learned to play the French horn. And in somewhere around that time, I started playing the guitar all on my own, because it was acceptable in my house. It was quiet enough. It wasn't an electric guitar. It was acoustic. But it was also in the percussion family. The guitar was in the rhythm section, you know, I was told. And I don't remember quite when it was. I don't know if it was in ninth grade or seventh grade or eighth grade, but somewhere around that time, I came down Christmas morning, and in my stocking were two drumsticks. And I was like, yeah. Finally, I knew there was like one of these mega drum sets like somewhere. I knew it wasn't under the tree. I thought maybe they'd put like a little, put a card in an envelope and say, yes, at Sam Ash Music Store, your drum set is waiting for you. And so I was looking for that, but that wasn't there. And the packages under the tree were all square again. And fact, I didn't know what was going on, but there were these two drumsticks. But I didn't have anything to play them on because my parents were still asleep. We weren't allowed to open all the packages until they came out, but we could open our stocking, you know? So I got the two sticks and I'm looking around for something to play. You know, I'm air drumming. And I looked over at my sister. She was hollow. So I started playing on her. Stop it! So I played down the hallway all the way to my parents' bedroom door, and I'm playing on the door, and I hear my father inside going, "You had to give him the drumsticks first." And so they come out, and they're like, "It's 6 o'clock. Do we have to get up so early? Come on, Dad. Come on, man. Let's do it. There's drums under here. Come on, let's go." So we open all the presents. No drums. Now, I have to tell you here, my mother was always kind of a practical joker, you know. She would say stuff to me, and I would always believe it. You know, she'd like say, "Did you know that the moon is made out of green cheese?" And I'm like, "Really?" I mean, I believe whatever she told me, you know. And she said to me one time, she said, "You know, did you know that the word gullible is not in the dictionary?" And I'm like, "It isn't?" By the way, this was just last year she asked me this. "It isn't?" And she said, "No, but it's written on the ceiling." Of course I look. You know, this is just the way I am. I just believe everything. And it always takes me a while. I have to like go, "Oh, you're kidding." Yeah, I get it. Well, she says, "Well, that's it. Christmas is over. Happy Christmas, everybody." And I'm like, "What about the drums?" "Oh, we forgot." So she goes into the other room. She comes out with this square package. I'm like, my alarm bells should have gone off, but they weren't. I was like, "Oh, a square drum. Huh? What's this?" And this was before electronic drums, so it wasn't that. I should have been going, "Warning, warning. Your mother is about to pull another one on you. Be alert." But no, I'm like, "Hmm." She gives it to me. I open it. It's a piece of wood with a piece of rubber glued to it. A practice pad. This was my mother's idea of giving me a drum. "Well, we didn't want to spend a lot of money on a drum set just in case you didn't want to play it, you know." I've only been playing on everything, drumming on everything since I was like 3 years old. And this was a practice pad. Yeah, whatever. Well, I never, ever, ever did get a real drum for Christmas. And it wasn't until I was in my 30s when my own son was 8 years old. And his mother insisted that he go to an after-school program against his will. After being in school all day, the average kid does not want to hang around at an after-school program. They want to come home. But she put him in this drumming class, African drumming, and he didn't even want to go. Can you imagine that? And one day, I was supposed to pick him up after school. I had to pick him up after school, and there he was playing the drum without very much enthusiasm, but enough enthusiasm. You know, and the teacher is this wonderful man who's just making magic happen with his hands, and the drum is filling me up, and I'm feeling like, I feel it, it's coming back on my feet. I had to kind of just control myself, you know, you can't just like do that around people because they get kind of blown away, you know. So you got to pretend to be a little cool. I said, "So, Mr. Oliver, I'd be interested, you know, I'm a musician. I'd like to sit in sometime, maybe learn how to play the drum a little bit, you know." And he's like, "Well, it is good to have the spirit of the Father and the spirit of the Son playing together." And I'm like, "Okay, cool." Which, in his mind, later he told me was like, "Who is this wacko? He wants to learn the drum. Mm-hmm, we'll see, right?" And anyway, I learned to play the drum with 8-year-olds and 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds and... It was humiliating. because they were so much better than me. It was really humbling. But after a while, I went twice a week, and I just started to play the drums, and pretty soon the drums began to come into my life in a big way. And the moral of the story is, sometimes the best gifts are the ones that we never get, but that we have to go out and give ourselves. I'd like to finish the story with a song that I wrote for my friend Kevin Oliver, who taught me how to play the drum. And he taught me how to play the African drums, and I kind of went on and learned a number of different other styles of drum. And at about that time that I met him and started playing the drums, I started making a living full-time as a musician. And I'm kind of happy that Kevin Oliver at that point was also just beginning a part-time journey of actually making a living doing what he truly loved to do, which was playing and teaching the drums. And kind of, he inspired me and I inspired him, and we're now both full-time musicians. And it's kind of a cool story. I need another helper on the big drum. If there's anybody else? If no one else volunteers, we'll just have Casey do it again, because she did a great job.
Sometimes it takes a while to live, but aren't you glad that you did? So play on, play on, my brothers. Play on, play on, my friends. Play on, play on, my sisters. We are children of the world. One more time. Play on, play on, my brothers. Play on, play on, my friends. Play on, play on. Kevin wanted a drum. Casey wanted a drum for Christmas. Casey wanted a drum. And I just wanted a drum for Christmas. I just wanted a drum. I just wanted a drum for Christmas. I just wanted a drum.
Ooh, thank you.
All right.